I need help.
Now, Connect FM Sports puts every play under review with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing.
James Franklin is out at Penn State. Was this the right move, and where does the football program go from here? We'll discuss.
Imagine Wrestling is coming back to the YMCA. How does it benefit the community, and how can you be a part of the fun? We'll talk to CEO Scott Frano for all the details.
The Penguins have a new third jersey this year. How do we feel about them? And one Pittsburgh media mogul thinks Andrew McCutchen's number should be retired. Do we agree? We'll touch on these quick hitters and more in our final segment. I'm Bob Anderson.
I'm Dave Herzing.
And I'm Dave Glass. Stay tuned as we discuss these topics and more as we go under review.
Sponsored by Fatula Eye Care, the Falls Creek Eagles, and Lebraska Plastic Surgery.
On Connect FM, your only local news radio. Welcome to Under Review for Wednesday, October 15th. This is episode 7 of our third season, and we're already halfway through October. Did you guys get your Halloween costumes yet?
Really? No. Not yet.
I'm all set, buddy.
I think you're going to reveal one and when we talk to Scott Frano, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I knew D would dress up. I didn't know about Dave.
It depends. Last year I did a good one, but I'm just not feeling it this year. First of all, we're probably going to have a playoff game I have to cover on 10:31 anyway, most likely for the Beavers. So it's like, what?
You're going as a loyal son.
You can dress up as an announcer.
That's right. Yeah.
Maybe I'll wear my referee stuff, you know, as I'm announcing and really confuse people.
No kidding. That's what I was thinking about doing when we go around the neighborhood, because I already have a referee jersey. Why do I want to go spend more money on a costume? Like those ones at Spirit of Halloween, $50-$60.
Yep.
Wear it only once. All right. Well, perhaps you guys have heard some news that there's been a lot going on in Happy Valley. It's Unhappy Valley.
Are you sure? Boy, I missed that.
Actually, I think I figured it out. They're tanking for McKenna.
That's pretty good.
All right. Money out. They fired James Franklin, of course. The university will forfeit $50 million to buy him out. Was that the right move?
Oh, boy. You know, yes and no, and I hate to be this way. First of all, I think the marriage was broken. I think it was on the way after the UCLA, and then, of course, you back it up with a loss to a very pretty bad Northwestern team, if we're going to be honest about it. It just seemed like the fan base had completely turned on him. Now, having said that, I think that let's rewind the clock. 15 days before he was fired at 2 in the afternoon, James Franklin was the belle of the ball. He was on game day in the morning. You know, they were undefeated, number 2 in the nation, the favorite at home against Oregon. And to go in 15 days from that to paying him $50 million to go away, and you know, emotions were high. And I always think that decisions made when you're in high emotional state are generally something you should avoid. They didn't even wait 24 hours after the loss. And I'm wondering now if they kind of regret that, because that's a lot of money, and all these recruits have decommitted. I saw at least 2 or 3 big ones, okay? And so, okay, maybe you're going to break it off, but maybe you'll let him get through the year? I mean, give it another week or something. There's a bye week after Iowa, I think. I mean, was the timing right for this? And I just happened to look this up. The last 3 years, they were really good. 13-3, 10-3, 11-2. 7-6, 4-5 before that. But going back from 2015, 7-6, 7-6, 7-5, 8-4, 9-4, 7-6. It's not like we're Ohio State and we lose one game every year around here. Yeah. The last 3 years were the exception, not the rule. It's like the fan base got so spoiled that it's like, oh, we can do this every year. We can go, 12-1 and win 2 playoff games. And that's now the expectation. And I'm not defending James Franklin, because he made some of his own problems and he can't win the big game. We knew that. Yep. And I said, well, he wins the games he's supposed to win, and he stopped doing that. So I get it, but man, this seems rushed. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. Kirby Smart, Ryan Day, and Kalen DeBoer are the only coaches that have more wins in the last 3.5 years than James Franklin. I mean, that's it. Those are the only three, and those are all marquee coaches at marquee programs. Penn State's a marquee program because James Franklin made it a marquee program again. They were in the muck for a while. O'Brien saved it from purgatory. Franklin came in, obviously, got his sea legs. And unfortunately, the last few weeks, Franklin was a victim of his own design. He built up this team to be something that they're clearly not. He had stated over and over that this was his, maybe his best roster he's ever had. Senior-laden team, all of these guys coming back. They bring in Jim Knowles, who's been a major disappointment. Kotelnicki, you know, there were whispers last year that the offense was too sophisticated and they need to get back to playing Penn State football. This year, the whispers actually were a lot louder than whispers that Knowles' defense was far. There's an incredible article that I sent to some people.
And I read it.
Yeah. About the metrics of Knowles' defense versus past Penn State defenses. They got away from what Penn State was and in large part because of James Franklin. And I think that's a large reason why the fan base was in such a fever pitch that they needed to get rid of him to calm this down. They're going to make a splash move. There's so many names being bandied about. They can take their time with this. They don't need to rush this. They have all the money in the world in the coffers. Nick Wright was just talking about this. You know, you could bring in, if you're Penn State, you can bring in essentially whoever you want that wants to come in. Right, they can pay who they can bring Saban if he wants money.
No, I'm just going to say no to that, please. But okay,
you know, and those guys on what Penn Staters are used to is someone who's been there for a long time. Franklin obviously was there for 12 years. Bill O'Brien was there only for a little while, and then he went to the NFL because he was successful in saving it. But they're used to Paterno. Paterno's long gone.
Yeah, there aren't any Paternos.
There's no
Paternos. For good or bad, there aren't any Paternos.
And unfortunately, a lot of those old head alumni, I still go to games. I still have friends who have those blue and white glasses on. There's no fan more delusional a lot of times than a Penn State fan because they truly think that, like, the next Paterno is out there and he's going to stay in Happy Valley for No. That's not going to happen.
Well, you guys know a lot more about this than I do, but Matt Rholl seems to be the leader in the clubhouse. Do you guys like him?
Well, I mean, look, he's the leader in the clubhouse because he's an alumni.
And he can't win big games.
Yeah, I am not. Pick a lane. If you want to be an alumni and go down the Joe Paterno and that this is what we're going to be, all right, accept that you're not going to be Ohio State then. And I'm okay with that, honestly, because they chase like we want to be Ohio State and look where it's gotten them. But if you are committed to chasing this white whale, then you've got to go for Cincinnati or something like that. Oregon coach.
There's rumors Barstool was saying about Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame. Now, listen.
Now that's not bad either.
But it pains me to say this. Notre Dame is a better program as far as Blue Bloods is concerned than Penn State. There's very few programs in this country that can say they're Notre Dame.
No, right? You're right.
I mean, Freeman, why would he leave that program to come to Notre Dame? And the only reason would be just some astronomical amount of money that he couldn't turn down.
And that's why a lot of them do it. You talk about it, and it's always about stepping up, right? Which is why I think Kurt Cinetti from Indiana. Indiana is not...
IUP, baby. Yeah, let's go.
You know, Penn State is definitely a step up. And there's only maybe two or three or four, or maybe five programs that you can say are a step up from Penn State or right around the same level.
Yeah.
Everything else, and Notre Dame's one of them. I want to be clear. I don't think Notre Dame would let that happen. I don't think, you know, people throwing on Ryan Day, I'm like, come on, why would he do that? That's ridiculous.
But yeah.
any other program pretty much other than like Alabama and Texas.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what's disappointing. If you look at Penn State's schedule next year.
Oh, it's a joke.
But they avoid all the heavyweights. They don't play Oregon. They don't play Ohio State. So,
well, and
Franklin
look.
Franklin next year could have ran the table. I mean, seriously, they don't have a marquee game next year.
Right, and they were going to have to reload. But that's the other thing. They need to start playing a real out-of-conference schedule. They were not prepared for the step up to Oregon. No. I believe that. You've got the best teams want to iron sharpens iron. I've been saying this
that's
for years.
Absolutely right.
Next year's schedule is an absolute joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke, and I cannot stand that. So we'll see what happens.
Well, in the meantime, the Penn State season goes on, and they're going to have to do it without Drew Aller, who was hurt in that game. I think everybody's forgotten about that. Thoughts on that, and what happens to him now with the draft? Is he even going to be a top three round pick?
Well, a couple thoughts. First of all, he made a terrible mistake, all right? And this is why I always say if athletes go and want to go to the NFL or whatever and make their money or in hockey, I never blame them, because this is the worst case scenario. He struggled, and now he's hurt, and he just cost himself literally millions of dollars. Yes. Millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. He's probably a fourth or fifth round pick now, if that. And that's if somebody's really – now, I've said he's going to be an NFL bust, but I know – there were talent evaluators out there who had him as a first-round pick this past draft. I know he wouldn't have made it to the second round. No. And look at, it's not going to happen now.
I think what the NFL sees in him is a shiny toy that someone could work with. Franklin, they didn't do him any favors in that offense.
No.
It was a lot of motion and a lot of weird things that aren't suited for his style of play. Credit to Penn State for bringing in what they thought were decent receivers for him this year that have turned out to not be so decent. I don't know whether he's got the yips, but it's funny. Pat Kraft in his press conference talked about Drew Aller. And if you've ever been around Pat Kraft, he is wound up. He wants a natty.
He's like you.
He wants a natty, and he wants it yesterday. And he'll do anything to get it, and he believes in Penn State. He got choked up talking about Drew Aller, saying that anyone that questions his commitment or his want to be the best, they're like, you have no idea how hard that kid works. On campus, they said he gets there essentially, and he sleeps in the Lash building. Like, that's what an NFL coach will look for. You know, you could sit Aller for three. Look at these bum NFL backups, for God's sake. I mean, you know, you could take a shot on them.
I know we're running out of time. I want to say that I think that might be part of his problem. I think he's wound himself so tight, and he's almost overanalyzing everything.
Well, yeah.
And Penn State, in big moments in that Oregon game, they didn't trust him to throw the ball.
Nope.
Other than that deep one, they were doing these, you know, keepers and this and that. So, you know, even if he was healthy, I don't know that was going to be there for him. The other thing I want to say is they're likely to be 3-6 after the next three games.
Oh, and, there's no question.
You know, they might miss a bowl. I mean,
real quick, is James Franklin the head coach of another team next year?
100%.
Either that or he's on TV for a year and then he's a coach.
Yeah.
He'd be a great TV head.
Look at all the college coaches out there. There's rumors of Michigan State pursuing him already. James Franklin did a very good job at Penn State. He did a great job with everything else except winning big games. And it's as simple as that.
It's time to get to a break. When we return, we'll talk to Scott Frano about an upcoming event that has D amped up. Stay with us on Under Review, sponsored by Fatula Eye Care, the Falls Creek Eagles, and Laprasca Plastic Surgery. Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is brought to you by Fatula Eye Care. They'll help you keep your focus sharp on and off the field. From eye exams to contacts and more, trust Dr. Dan and his team to get you right. Our guest today came all the way from about a mile away over there at the YMCA. We're pleased to be joined by the CEO of the YMCA, Scott Frano. Thank you again for coming on, Scott.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me. We truly appreciate the time we get to spend with you guys and to talk a little bit about the YMCA and some of the items and events we have coming up, for sure.
All right. Well, you do have one coming up here next Saturday. Not this Saturday, but next. Tell us about it.
So we teamed up again with Donnie over at Imagine Wrestling, and we had an event back in March. It's the first time that this wrestling group came in, and we had a big turnout, over 300 people there. I had a really good time. Pleasantly surprised with it. Shortly afterwards, they approached me kind of like over in a little corner and said, so what do you think? How did it go? You know, we're all done here now. The chairs are piled up. What do you think? I said, I thought it was great. I really, truly did. The kids were having fun. You know, I first started out by readily admitting it's kind of not my cup of tea, but man, they put on a show, and they put on a really good show. And when I'm sitting there watching, I turned around and I watched the kids, and you know, there's 200 kids out of the 300 people there just smiling and laughing and having a great time. How can you beat that, you know? And we got them to come into our building, got them to come into some of the parents to see our place that may have not have seen before, and that's the goal. More bodies in the building, having fun, doing events that are good theme efforts with the family. So they're coming back this Saturday. Well, not this Saturday, next Saturday, the 25th. And they have a couple featured wrestlers, I believe, right, Mr.
Oh, Ray? Yeah, buddy. First of all, I'm one of those kids that goes over there. the feature match is going to be Short Sleeve Samson versus the Canadian Bad Guy, and it's midget wrestling. It's going to be over at the YMCA, which I'm ecstatic about. I don't know if you've ever seen midget wrestling. It is unbelievable. These guys put their bodies on the line. They're phenomenal athletes. Come on over and check them out. Donnie and Imagine do an awesome job. job with all of these events. There'll be food. There should be booths for merchandise. I know there was a vendor there last time selling some wrestling figures. Donnie and Imagine actually have some giveaways as well that are going on.
Yep.
There's a costume contest. There's going to be really cool prizes, a Hulk Hogan autograph that they'll be giving away, which is pretty cool. So Hulkamania will be going wild at the YMCA. My idiot rear end will be dressed up along with my idiot friends, the Loyal Sons. We'll be all dressed up. I'm dressing up as Mankind from WWE. So I'll be wearing the mask and I'll have Socko. So it'll be great. I'm very excited for this event. I think anyone who attends it will see, just like Scott was saying, they do an incredible job. My son is 13 years old. Every one of these events I've taken him to, he's all smiles. All of his friends are there. I have friends coming in from out of town. They're looking forward to this as well. So stop on by the Y. Tickets are still available. I think you'll really enjoy yourself.
How do we get Dave Herzing in the ring? If he's in the ring, I think Dave Glass might show up.
That's what we need, I would
love to see. Yeah. That
Glass would come in a singlet. He would come in like he'd have his headgear on. He'd be all set to wrestle, and I'd get him off the top rope with a elbow.
I'm way too old for that stuff, man. I could go about 30 seconds, and then I'd be done.
You know, and I on that note, Dave, you know, people can say what they want to say it again. I'm sold in it because it's a good time. It's a really fun time to see. But these are athletes too.
Yes, 100%.
They go through a process and a training procedure. You don't jump off the back of the ropes, I suppose, on the top and do a backflip and land precisely on top of somebody if you don't have some ability.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I'll tell you what, some of these guys too, I mean, a lot of these guys are looking to further their career. They have an academy down in Altoona. They train just like, because they are athletes, not just like athletes, they are athletes. Their mic skills are great when they're cutting promos. There's so much more that goes into it than the average fan sees. And again, Donnie and Imagine do such an incredible job with this. They're clearly passionate about professional wrestling. They're all huge fans of it from an early age. If you're looking for something to do next Saturday, the YMCA has you covered. Bring your kids. It is a very family-friendly event. I said this the last time it was at the YMCA. I'll stress that again. I have kids of my own. I wouldn't want to take them to something that wasn't family-friendly. You don't have to worry about that. They put on a really great show, so you should stop by.
Well, I won't certainly argue that they're athletes. They're definitely athletes. They train. You know, they're in shape. They work out. I will go to my grave saying it's not a sport because you know who's going to win ahead of time. That's not a sport. Now, having said that and knowing that it's not my cup of tea, I've been very clear about that. I accept, and I think we need to do a better job of accepting all of us, that not everything is everybody's cup of tea. And
yes,
there's a lot of people who love this.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that you're putting it on because you're going to, it's about raising money. Okay. And the YMCA is a fantastic organization. I'm so glad you're having this. I really am. And just because Dave Glass doesn't like fake wrestling doesn't mean that a lot of other people, they love it.
See, now look, any wrestling fans that are listening right now, Glass is definitely a heel and I'm a face. So, and people that are listening too, they don't know whether this is a work or a shoot, right? So I'm kayfabe and Glass is not. So Lonnie, I'm throwing the terms around here. You got to be proud of this Loyal Son. Let's go.
All right, well, how much are the tickets, Scott, and how do you get into it?
So the VIP tickets are $15, and the general admission is $12. So not much difference between the two, but it's
a steal.
It is a steal, and it's a nice event for everybody. The VIP gets get entered into the contest with the autograph session or the autographed items there, and there's a chance to win that. Then there's a costume party, and we also have some prizes for that too.
Are you dressing up like a wrestler?
I am not.
Oh, come on.
I was asked because of, you know, maybe not being as tall as the next guy beside me, these two, that I was probably could qualify. I think it's 4'9".
Well, I'll tell you what, you'd make a good Bill Goldberg. You got the goatee.
You could
be like, who's next? You could spear someone over at the Y.
Not qualified. No way.
Well, what does this benefit? The Strong Kids campaign?
Strong Kids campaign. It's our main sustainable campaign throughout the year. We're finishing up on it very quickly here. This will be our last event for that campaign. And we've done a really good job of it this year. We were a little bit brand new to it as a team with the YMCA last year. But we're getting better every year. We got a really good strong team in-house. And you know, all due respect, our board of directors have come a long way too. We're really good board of directors too, I believe. Dave is one of those.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all team effort. It takes a village. That's a big building over there to keep continuing to update in all facets. And the biggest thing we want to make sure is the kiddos get to have a place to come. And I don't want this to sound cheesy, but it's a destination for middle schoolers and high schoolers to come over and be a part of that
area. Scott, to that point, sorry to interrupt you, Dave. I literally just got over here and I dropped my daughter off for a volleyball program that they're running over there. My daughter, they do a good job at the middle school and the high school, but this is a nice introductory program Mr. Wilcox puts on. My daughter loves it. All of her friends love it. That gym is filled with little kids running around learning volleyball. On the other side of the gym, actually, the gym, if you've ever been in the YMCA, it's divided up. The one side were kids from the middle school just hooping and having fun, and then the auxiliary part, and then the other side of the gym were nothing but volleyball. Parents, people that are listening to this, what in the world are you looking up for other than that for your kids? You want them active. You want them safe. The YMCA is the place for that.
I agree. That's a good plug.
I was going to just ask, you know, and I know some of these answers, but talk about some of the things that are there for kids, that especially some of the newer things that have come along that might be interesting to people who maybe haven't looked at the YMCA recently.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Dave. And when keep in mind, these kiddos are getting off school around 2:40 every day, right? So anybody that drives down Parkway or through the boulevard and sees those kids crossing the line, crossing the boulevard there, they're coming to our location. They get an access to come in there, enjoy themselves, be a part of, get to blow steam a little bit too, right? So, and we do have many staff members that are walking around making sure they're all doing the right things, places where they can't go and can go. We have swimming going on at the same time, which our swim team is happening right now. The volleyball program is going on. Like you had mentioned, on the other side of the gymnasium, there's kids playing soccer, there's kids playing basketball. If they're 12 and older, they can go upstairs and work out, get on the cardio, do some lift some weights up there. We have plenty of adults up there that are up there for that reason, to help them learn how to lift weights. We have access to computers. If some of those kiddies do not have computers or internet at their house, we all know there's programs going on in school where you're a part of a group and you have to do this part of the program and somebody else has to do this part. You don't want to be that kiddo that can't come and do their part and go the next day at school and go, I didn't get mine done. Why? Because I didn't have internet. And we've all seen it. I know I've seen it. I've driven into Sheets and seen a mom sitting in the parking lot with a kid in the back seat doing his homework on the Sheets internet. We have an access to do that in a safe environment. We have a room for it. All they have to do is ask. It's simple. It's easy. And what a babysitting tool for 2 hours for mom and dad to get off work at 5:30. Yeah. They can just come and pick them up, you know, for $10 a month for a kid to come to the Y. Come on.
Hey, it's social. It's interactive. And they're off their phones.
So that's right.
That's great. That's perfect.
Well, I can't promise off their phones all the time.
You can't babysit that part.
Give them reasons for that. Correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Get your tickets for the Imagine Wrestling event next Saturday at the YMCA. The bell rings at 7 o'clock p.m. Be there or D might hit you with a steel chair.
That's right. That's it, baby. So get there. I sold it to people the last time that I never thought would ever attend one of these things. And Scott, to your point, literally I'm getting texts. When's that Imagine thing again over at the Y? It's a fun, safe, great environment for families. Bring your kids over. They'll have a great time.
Visit www.imaginewrestling.com for more information. Thanks again for coming in, Scott.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Under Review is sponsored by Fatul Eye Care. We'll be back to make our weekly NFL predictions.
Too tired to cook on Fridays? Head down to the Falls Creek Eagles for a delicious fish fry every week from 4 to 7 p.m.
It's time to make our Week 7 picks. Last week, like many others, was brutal, at least for me. Where do we stand here, Dave?
Well, you and I both had a tough week. D had a big comeback. He's right on our heels again.
Nice job, D.
You're still above 500, Bob. You're the only one at 47 and 46. I am 45 and 48. And D, coming off a 9-6 week, is 44 and 49. And the biggest shock of all this is we're on going into Week 7, and we're all still alive in Survivor. But I said in the text, my hot take is not all of us are going to survive this one. No. I just can't see it.
There's a lot of tough games this week, man. There's a lot of tough games.
Well, Baltimore and Buffalo are on bye. It starts off right on Thursday night. We always give Dave the chance to kick us off here. The Rams 4-2 at Jacksonville 4-2. Rams favored by 3.5. Oh, sorry, it doesn't. That's Sunday.
Thursday. I was going to say, wait a minute.
We're skipping the Thursday game. We're going to that
because we always do Pittsburgh
next segment. Sorry.
Man, you know, Jacksonville, I thought 2 weeks ago they were going to show us something, and then last week they lay an egg. You know, Jacksonville's a home dog. I'm always a little bit scared of that, but I just can't believe in this team. I just, they just haven't shown me enough, so I'm going to take the Rams.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams as well, based solely on Seattle sacked Lawrence last week 7 times. So the Rams have a better defense than the Hawks. So, yeah, give me the Rams in this one.
I'm going to take Jacksonville in this one. The Rams are favored by 3.5, and they're maybe playing without Puka. And not only that, but Jacksonville, this is their home away from home. This is, I think, their 13th game.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
This one's in London. Yeah.
So they know how to play over there. Broncos 3-2 at the Jets 0-5. D. Broncos favored by 7.5.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's what I saw on the sheet.
Is that what it is?
Broncos, Jets. 7.5?
I thought it was Carolina.
Yeah, you're looking at...
Do I have the wrong game?
I think you have the wrong game.
Okay, what should it be?
I thought it was Carolina and the Jets.
I have Carolina, the Jets, and Giants and Denver. Broncos and Jets were at last week.
Oh, yeah. Lord. My apologies. All right, so is that the second game on your sheet?
The second game on my sheet is New Orleans, Chicago.
All right, that's what it's supposed to be. I just forgot to delete that one from last week. So never mind that one. We already picked that one. Saints 1-5 at Chicago 3-2. Bears favored by 4.5.
Well, I'll tell you what. Chicago really looked good, didn't they, D? Now it's your pick.
Yeah.
But I was really shocked at how well Chicago played in that
game. Well, I'll tell you, I'm taking the Bears in this one, even though it's 5.5. The Bears are just finding ways to win.
I've got 4.5, just
yeah.
so you know.
So. Oh, okay.
I'm still taking them.
I'll take them.
It's even more reason to take.
Yeah, for sure. I'll take the Bears here at this, even at 4.5. That makes it better.
I'm taking them, too. They seem to have found their stride. They've won 3 in a row.
I don't understand anybody could take New Orleans on the road right now. If anything, this line seems low to me.
We got the Dolphins 1-5 at the Browns 1-5. This is one of those do anything but watch football games. Browns are favored by 2.5. I'm going to take the Browns simply because I cannot take the Dolphins, and I probably won't all season.
Well, I was going to say, if you took Miami in this game, I was going to call you out for hypocrisy after what you said last week. I told you Miami, they did cover at home, and they're a different team at home, but Cleveland at home, that defense despite Pittsburgh looked good, and we'll get to that, but Cleveland is a really good defense. I'm taking Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, this game's dog crap, but yeah, give me Cleveland in this one. Miami is a bad, bad football team. So yeah, give me the Browns.
Patriots 4-2 at the Titans 1-5. Over to you, Dave.
Well,
Patriots favored by 6.5.
6.5 is a lot. If it was 3 or 4.5, I'd feel much better about this. But I really, really, really believe in Drake May, and I don't believe in this Tennessee team at all. I'm kind of like, what you are with Miami, I'm there with Tennessee after what I've seen this year. So until Tennessee shows me otherwise, I'm going with New England here.
Yeah, I'll take New England as well, only because they fired Callahan. There's upheaval. I don't even know who the interim head coach is. I should know, but I don't. New England, surprise of the NFL right now. I mean, who at the beginning of the season?
The AFC East.
Who at week 7 would say, yeah, the Patriots are going to be ahead of the Bills. Give me a break. And not one person in anywhere other than a Patriots fan like Turkey.
And let's be honest, if they hadn't turned the ball over every single time they had it against the Steelers, they'd be 5-1 right now. They really should be.
Yeah.
Well, the Patriots are playing their third straight road game, and for some reason, teams get a bump when they fire their head coach. So I'm going to take the Titans
Look at that. What a pick.
All right. We got the Raiders 2-4 at the Chiefs 3-3. Chiefs favored by 10.5. This one goes to D.
You know what? Right now, Kansas City looks pretty good. It's pretty tough. I mean, that spread is pretty crazy, but you know
spread.
What? Give me the Chiefs in this one. That offense right now looks fantastic. They get Rashee Rice back. So, yeah, give me the Chiefs in this one.
I'm going to take the Chiefs as my lock, but just like last week, I'm going to take the Raiders to cover the points. A double-digit spread against a divisional opponent, that's a bit rich to me.
You know what? I'll take them as my lock, too, because, you know, I mean, if you look at this, there's really no other game on this schedule. And I haven't used Kansas City, have I?
I'm looking.
I'll check. You make your pick.
You have.
Oh, all right.
Well, that's why I sent them to you last night.
I know. You know me with preparation.
and I knew that because Bob was the only. I knew Bob was going to take Kansas City because he was the only team who can.
Without Bob running this thing, buddy, this whole thing would be on fire.
This
right
ship
now.
Is falling apart. Well, I got the wrong. I'm picking the Broncos and Jets from last week, so that doesn't say much. Dave, what do you got?
Okay, so I'm going to take. It's too many points. Kansas City looks really good. They look really, really good, but. 10.5 is just a little bit too many for me to take Kansas City here, and they're due to have a little bit of an off game, so I'm going to go with Vegas to cover but not to win.
Okay, we got the Eagles 3-2 at the Vikings 3-2. I do not know what to do with this game. Both of these teams are so
inconsistent. Is McCarthy playing?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know
if that's
I don't know
if
is it any better if he does?
Well, that's
know.
A good point. I mean, yeah. He's got to be better than Wentz, I'd hope. And I mean, it's, you know, the Vikings had a bye, so they might be, I mean, they'll be rested. The Eagles are the odd. I mean, I overvalued the Eagles so much at the start of the season. That offense looks absolutely ridiculous. They can't seem to do anything. But that said, I'm taking the Eagles in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles too.
Yeah, me too, because, look, Philly did this last year. Remember, they started slow last year, and everybody's, well, what's wrong with the Eagles? And then they really went on a tear. So we're all on the Eagles.
Okay, we got the Panthers 3-3 at the Jets 0-6. Jets favored by 1.5. I don't think the Jets should be favored against anybody right now, including the Dubois Beavers. I would not even take them with that.
Oh, I'd pick the Loyal Suns yes. over anybody.
Well, give me the Panthers.
That's right.
So you're taking the Panthers. I'm going to definitely take the Panthers because I'm like you. This is a screwy line. You're 0-6. Now, look, I know they played Denver close, but they threw for negative 10 yards net on Sunday. That's 3 hours of my life I'll never get back. I watched that with my son, Darren, because he's a huge Denver fan, and I'm just sitting there shaking my head. I'm like, how are you almost losing to this team, son? This is insane. But they do play good defense, but I'm going to take Carolina.
I'm taking the Jets in this one because you got to win sometime.
Yeah,
and you
got to.
So I'll take the Jets in this one. This is a good shot for them to win over my last year's.
I was going to say he's officially
he's
off Carolina.
That's right. I'm off Carolina. So
and this
give,
is the year they're
J-E-T-S,
actually doing well.
Jets. The station owner here, Jay Philippone, will be happy with that. So
Giants 2-4 at the Broncos 4-2. We go to Dave again.
This one's scary to me. The line is big, considering that Denver played in London last week.
7.5, yeah.
Yeah, 7.5. I know they're home, and the Giants are kind of hit or miss, but, you know, I was tempted, so tempted to take Denver as my lock, but there just aren't that many good lock choices. I'm going to end up doing it anyway, so I'm going to go with Denver.
You know what? I'm going to take the lock, too, with Glass. So if he and I go down, you're going to win.
There we go.
So that's the only reason why I'm doing it. But I'm taking Denver simply, one, because they're my lock. But two, they're leading the NFL in sacks. So, yeah, you know
that
what?
That defense is legit.
The defense is legit. Yeah, you know, it's great in New York. You know, obviously, you know, you got right now, you got the darling in New York and Dart and Cam Scataboo and everything else. You know what? I think they're going to come back down to earth when they face a legitimate defense. I think this is the week.
That's too big of a spread for me. I'll take the Giants.
Yeah, 7.5's a lot, buddy. So
are you guys both taking the Broncos?
Yep,
yeah,
I took them
but
both
I'm taking it both ways as well. It is.
They have a big home field advantage up there in the mountains.
Mm.
That's like Dubois. It's like we're here in the Alps. Buddy, I'm loyal.
Okay, we got the Colts 5-1 at the Chargers 4-2. This one goes to D. This is a tough one, too.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to take the Colts in this one until the Colts are something else. And the NFL, this is why the NFL is so incredible. Every year there's teams that just come out of nowhere. Nobody thought the Colts were going to do anything. If you read articles about the Colts, I did this today, teams were making fun of the Colts for basically wanting Daniel Jones. And look where they are. So give me the Colts.
But the Vikings would like to have him right now.
For sure.
I'm going to take the Chargers. I think that Harbaugh finds a way to kind of limit Jonathan Taylor and makes Daniel Jones try to beat them. You know, they're ready to bounce back, I think, from last week's performance.
So which team do you think leads the NFL in point differential?
Colts.
It's not even close.
Yeah, it's got to be the Colts.
It's not even close. They're like twice as high as the next one. They're plus 78.
Oh, man.
Plus 78 through six games. That's insane. This is the screwiest line of the week to me by far. I don't care if they're on the road. They're 5-1. They're blowing people out of the water left and right. They score almost every possession most weeks. Maybe Vegas knows something here. It's really screwy, but I'm taking Indy.
Okay, Commanders 3-3 at the Cowboys 2-3. Commanders favored by 2.5. The over-under for this one's 54.5.
I'm taking the Commanders simply because Dallas doesn't play any defense
at all.
Oh,
their defense is
horrible. They don't play. They're the exact opposite of Denver. So give me the Commanders in this one. I mean, this is going to be a shootout.
I do not trust the Cowboys. Even if CeeDee Lamb comes back, I'm taking the Commanders too.
So I'm trying to figure you guys out. You both took Chicago on the road. And Washington. And now Washington's on the road, and you're taking them against Dallas. So do you really think that Chicago's better than Dallas?
That's
a good question.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's week to week.
I flipped the coin.
And it's a divisional game. You know, I looked at it solely just on the fact that Chicago's one of those teams that their record could be, they could have a losing record based on a couple of plays this season. They've had some
luck. That about many teams.
Of course. The NFL's typically a one or two possession game, and the margins are very thin separating victory from defeat. But no, they're just finding ways to win. That's why I picked Chicago. But Washington, I mean, they could have easily won over Chicago.
Well, I think they win and they cover. I was watching that game, and Washington was driving, and they messed up that handoff. And that's what gave Chicago the ball. I definitely think Washington was going to win. Having said that, I'm taking Dallas.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, Packers 3-1 at the Cardinals 2-4. Back to you, Dave. Packers favored by 6.5.
Arizona is kind of in free fall, and I'm a Green Bay guy. I'm sticking with my Packers. If I wouldn't have used them last week, I'd have used them here as the lock.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if Kyler Murray's playing or not. The backup is Jacoby Brissett. Is what they're saying.
He's just as good, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so you never know. But yeah, I'm taking Green Bay. I think Green Bay, their defense, I think, has something to prove.
Yeah, I think it shows up this
yeah,
week.
Yeah, so yeah, I'll take Green Bay.
Me too. Falcons 4-1 at the 49ers 2-2. D.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The 49ers are one of those teams I can't seem to figure out. I don't think anybody in the NFL can figure out
either.
They need
a new trainer.
But yeah, exactly. The injury riddled, but they're finding ways to win. Atlanta somehow beating Buffalo. How did that happen? Who would have ever had that on their
bingo
card?
They didn't just beat them. They whooped them.
Yeah. So you know what? I think Atlanta's riding high here. I have no idea why, other than maybe this is at San Francisco, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's maybe why they're favored. But give me Atlanta in this one. I'll take them.
I'm taking Atlanta, too. Who stops Bijan without Fred Warner in the lineup? Dude.
Well, and, you know, we've got two different things here playing against each other. I know we're short on time. You've got the short week thing with Atlanta traveling across the country after playing on a Monday night. That's always tough. But San Francisco is decimated. They're decimated. I don't even know how they're even staying in these
games.
And
then they beat the Rams in that
situation. I know, but that was a Thursday night game, and those are weird. But I cannot take San Francisco, and this is the second strangest line of the week to me.
Buccaneers 2-2 at the Lions 3-2. The Lions favored by 5.5. That's too many against this Bucs team.
100%.
I got to take the Bucs.
Yeah, you know what? Give me Baker and the Bucs. I actually think Detroit wins this game, but you know, I think this game's super close. 5.5, I think, way too much for this game.
No way. Detroit at home, baby. All the way. Detroit by 10 points.
Holy smokes. Not over my Baker-led Bucks, baby. Wait till I get that creamsicle jersey
you know
in
what?
Here, baby.
Tampa,
it's going to look good.
Every single week, Tampa plays it right down to the wire. This isn't going to work every time.
Texans 2-3 at the Seahawks 4-2. Finish it up, Dave. Seahawks favored by 3.5.
Third screwiest line of the week. Seattle's looked really good. They're at home. They're always tough at home. I don't know why Houston's only a 3.5-point dog here.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about Houston. I've watched Seattle because of Lonnie. Give me the Hawks, baby.
Yeah, you put the Seahawks defense against that terrible offensive line. I think that
should be 7 points.
Yeah, it should be a greater spread. I'll take the Seahawks too. That'll do it for this week's weekly picks. When we return, we'll make our Steelers pick and touch on some quick hitters. You're listening to Under Review, sponsored by the Falls Creek Eagles on Connect FM. Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is sponsored by Lebraska Plastic Surgery. Want to look and feel your best? Give them a call at 814-849-6591 to schedule a consult. We have one more game to pick, and it's tomorrow's game. We're going to step it up with D over here. The Steelers 4-1 at the Bengals 2-4. Steelers favored by 5.5.
You know what? Give me Stairway. I realize this is a trap game. Tomlin a lot of times plays the level of his competition. Since he is surprising, considering they lost, you know, potential MVP candidate this season, since he's in this game, I'd take Cincy any day of the week. If Burrow's in this game, I'd take Cincy any day of the week. But right now, the way the Steelers look, they're clicking. Joe Starkey and Pomp and all those guys, I'm down in Pittsburgh all the time, they're talking, they're saying the locker room is joyful and happy. When's the last time you've heard that? But I gotta throw an early get lost in here. The Pro Football Focus grades for the Steelers Browns.
Yeah, those were screwed up.
Did you see those?
I heard about some.
Watt had 6 pressures, 2 PBUs, 5 tackles, and a half sack, right? Highsmith had 2 pressures, half sack, and Myles Garrett had 1 pressure and 2 assisted tackles. Myles Garrett had a higher PFF rating or grade than Highsmith and Watt, 89.8 compared to Watt's 84.9. We all watched that game. Anyone listening to this show probably watched that game. Myles Garrett was a non-factor in that game.
Well, and if you look at Broderick Jones' PFF numbers from that game, they were horrible too.
Yeah, I get it.
That was probably his best game as a Steeler.
You know what? Well, it's above my pay grade, but that's clearly not the metric that you want to be looking at.
I'm not saying I agree with the grades, but I will say that they're going to grade much higher when you get double and triple teamed every play. Watt did not. They did not double him every play. Garrett, if you went back and watched, I'm not sure he ever got singled. And he got doubled and tripled a lot. And basically Pittsburgh's saying somebody else can beat us. So yeah, you're gonna get a higher grade for that. I mean, if you put your whole line on one guy, he's not gonna do anything.
That makes sense.
But having said that,
I just don't know how you make that grade.
Like, well, it's tough. Look, I don't even when they put that stuff on TV, I don't even watch it because it's like some of the stuff I've seen, it is a little weird. I'll give you that. And let's be honest, Pittsburgh had a great game.
Everything is fake.
I mean, Bob.
I'm going to take the Bengals. We know what Mike Tomlin's record's like on Thursday night football games. Nick Faribault put it out there. He said the Steelers are 2-8 in road Thursday night football games. They're 0-6 in road division Thursday night football games.
0-6?
Yes.
Holy God. Get lost to that. That's yesterday's news.
But well, hey, that's a trend, though.
Well, you know what else is a trend? We talked about the best point differential. Guess who has the worst?
The Bengals.
Bengals. Yeah. Minus 80.
Oof.
Minus 80, folks. Well, there's only one team in the division with a positive point differential. Who would have thought it would be the Steelers in August?
I think there's some Aaron Rodgers love coming from glass.
No.
There's a vibe coming off.
If it was up to me, I still wish they wouldn't have got him. But now we're in this. Here's this deal. All these other teams are just falling to pieces, right? We won three in a row. Everybody else in the division has lost at least three in a row. It's right there. The JV schedule ends tonight. The next three games are really, really hard after this. You win this, you go to 5-1, and you can go .500 or worse and win the division. And Joe Flacco at this stage of his career is the perfect quarterback for Pittsburgh. Running quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks give them some fits sometimes. He ain't going anywhere.
No.
They know where he's going to be. He's going to be right where he starts. So I predict, and that Cincy line is horrible. Their defense is horrible.
Yeah.
This is a good chance.
Everything makes sense that the Steelers should cover, but they won't. I'm telling you. It's Thursday night football.
The best thing about Flacco is he flies coach, baby. That is the single best thing about Joe Flacco. That guy's a multimillionaire, has more money than I'll ever make in 100 lifetimes, and that guy flies coach. That is the greatest.
Thursday games are weird. I get that, but I still think Pittsburgh covers, and I think they win by maybe 8.
Okay, I'm taking Pittsburgh to win 24-20.
Okay, I'm going to say I'm going to go 30-21.
Yeah, you know what? I'll go 28-16. Okay. Stairway.
All right, I like it. All right, we're going to get into some quick hitters here. Before we do that, though, did you guys see Josh Getzoff had a fainting spell there in the second
I heard about it, but I didn't hear what happened.
I didn't hear anything either. I guess he's okay.
I actually didn't see that.
Well, I'm just wondering, have you guys ever fainted before? I guess 40% of the public has.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that on Google. Of course, it has to be true if it was on Google, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Did you ever faint?
I've never fainted. No. You know, the only time I ever got lightheaded, we were at Hershey Park, and it was like 10 degrees, it felt like, and it was just real muggy. And the kids had me on a bunch of goofy spinny rides.
Oh, I don't like this.
And I got off the ride, and it was like I broke out in like these flop sweats,
yes.
Right? And it was
that's
just
like the first thing that happens.
Dude, it was just terrible. Yep. And I didn't feel like I was going to go down, but man, it was not good. I mean, I was in the bathroom just splashing water on my face to try and get my bearings.
Yep.
That's really about the only time I've ever felt anything close to that.
Dave?
I was pretty much knocked out when I wrecked my race car once, but I've never actually fainted.
Yeah,
I consider that a different thing.
I got knocked out one time in high school playing soccer. I went up for a high ball and kid hit me and wasn't dirty. A kid hit me on the chin and knocked me out. The only time I ever got knocked out.
I've actually fainted twice. Once I was too long in the steam room, I got to tell you. And then the second time I think I had mono or something.
It was when you saw Summer.
Yeah, that was the other time. That's the third time.
That's right.
Love
that's
you, dear.
Right.
But no, I actually fainted waiting for a prescription at Walmart. I was on the bench and I just got real hot.
Perfect
and sweaty.
Perfect spot to faint.
Next thing I knew, I was on the floor and a couple Walmart ladies are standing above me and asking me if I'm okay, which, obviously not, I guess. But anyhow, we wish our best the best to Josh.
I didn't know Cyborg's fainted. Wow.
He lost charge.
We need to be plugged in.
All right, well, let's start with this. The Mariners lead the Blue Jays 2-0, and the Dodgers lead the Brewers 2-0. Which team that is trailing do you have more confidence in coming back to make it to the World Series?
Well, I'm going to say, this is going to sound really weird, but I'm going to say Milwaukee, and I'm gonna, for one big reason. They haven't hit the ball at all in two games. I think they have five total hits, which is ridiculous. LA's got the really, really good starting pitching both nights. Their bullpen is atrocious.
Yeah, they have no bullpen.
It is horrible. All you have to do is get to their bullpen, and you've got a puncher's chance. Milwaukee can hit better than this. I'm not saying they're going to win this series, but they have a real chance to steal a game or two out there. Because LA is, I mean, he is desperate to avoid that bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's never thrown a complete game in the majors. And that, and you know, I know they were leading and it was comfortable, but Roberts is really, really scared of his own bullpen. That's a bad sign. Toronto, I think they kind of, you know, shot their wad against against the Yankees. You know, they just can't, they're not hitting as well, and their pitching, they're just not going to be able to stay with Seattle. Seattle can taste it. I don't think this series goes back to Toronto.
Yeah, it's funny. Just watching it, just eye test. I mean, very rarely anybody in this neck of the woods has watched the Mariners, right? Other than Raleigh in the home run derby and stuff like that. But they look different. They look like they want, I mean, the Blue Jays look kind of defeated. The Brewers don't, to your point. Yamamoto threw that. He threw a gem last night, right? The last complete game was Verlander. I forget how many years ago. It doesn't happen all
doesn't
that
happen
often.
It doesn't happen at all anymore.
So, and that right there speaks to Roberts not wanting to get to that pen. Now, the problem is they got to face Glasnow and Ohtani, but Ohtani doesn't work deep in games.
And Glasnow doesn't either.
No.
He throws a lot of pitches.
So if LA can just win one of those games, it's over.
It's over.
Right? But if you never know. To answer your question, I say the Brewers just like Dave.
It's interesting to me that they spent all this money on their bullpen, by the way, and they're scared. If they actually had a good bullpen with this rotation, they'd have won 115 games.
Well, I'll be for the Brewers for sure. Bob Smizek had a tweet that I thought merited some discussion. He said, if Andrew McCutchen decides to retire before next season, there needs to be three things that happen. Retire his number, give him a job in the front office, and announce the building of his statue. You guys agree or disagree? We'll start with D on
All
this
right.
one.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you what. You know, the time that Kutch was there, I remember seeing him come up from Altoona. My dad and I went to watch him play a couple times. It was an exciting time to be a Pirates fan. Kutch reinvigorated the city. Pittsburgh loves him. He's going to go down as one of the best Pirates, nowhere near in the stratosphere of Stargells and Clementes and Wagners or Parkers. They better build a statue of the Cobra before they build a statue of Kutch. You know, you got legends in those statues. It's not that Kutch isn't a legend, but I mean, he did win MVP. I just don't know about statues, but I think what he's meant to the city of Pittsburgh, you know, whether he's in broadcasting, whether he's in the front office, whatever, he's making his home here. Obviously his ties to Dubois, anyone who listens to this show is well aware of that. I think he's obviously a first-class guy, first-class teammate, but yeah, all of what Snizek said, I think would be great except for the statue.
He had four really, really top seasons. That's it, guys. Four. Now, I love Andrew McCutchen, but I hate this idea that you just, anytime somebody comes along who's above average or even good, we're going to retire their number. I mean, the Penguins do this right. The only numbers you see up there are one guy who tragically died when he was young,
yeah,
and the big ones, Lemieux and Yager, and soon to be Crosby and Malkin.
Yep.
That's it. That's the list.
You think Tanger gets retired?
It's iffy, and I probably wouldn't
do it.
You
think Flower gets retired?
He's closer. He's second all-time in wins.
Yeah.
You can make a case for that. But even he's iffy. I just don't agree with it. You look at some of the people the Pirates have retired, it's not right. And that's nothing against Kutch. But to your point, Dave Parker was a better player in his prime.
Dave Parker was unreal in his prime. He was all that and more over Andrew McCutchen.
And since Kutch has come back, he's just a guy. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's great that he's back, but he's just a guy now.
Yeah.
Well, let's make this one quick here because we're almost out of time. Dubois School District, like many districts, is struggling for referees. So they come up with this juniors officials program. Kids 16 to 18 can participate. I don't know all the details, but it seems to be a good idea. Do you guys like the idea
overall?
Well,
it's a PIAA thing, and they're just advertising for it. And
all
yes,
right.
it's a wonderful idea, but here's the problem with it, okay? What's the sport you're most likely to officiate?
A basketball?
No, the
football.
One you play. Yeah. The one you play.
Because you know the game.
So let's say, that makes sense. So if you're going to be a baseball player, you're not going to be able to officiate baseball because you're playing baseball. And the same with football for the lower levels and so on. So it's a wonderful idea in theory. And I post, you know, I commented on Lauren Auchinbaugh's Facebook post and said, if anybody, any kid who's interested, there's lots of mentors, I'll mentor, we'll help get you equipment. Yes, 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 that's all great. And by the way, that's how Jeremiah started. So where it's really good is if a player wasn't good enough maybe to make varsity and they kind of lose interest when they get to 15, 16. And that's what I did. I wasn't going to be a college player or anything, but I became an official for 34 years at age 16. So it's a very narrow thing, but it's very, very good.
Yeah, I'm actually all for it. Anything to get more officials. I mean, case in point, you know, the Suns game got moved to tomorrow night because of official shortages. My wife works with Ryan Pasternak, right? And, you know, he talks about official shortages all the time. You go to these games, it's the same guys. So again, bringing in a new crop of young men and women to do this, I think is a great thing. I think it's awesome for their resumes. I think it's awesome to work together as a team, as an officiating crew, you know, young kids, you know, getting direction and learning, you know, structure of the, you know, of the game and everything like that. I don't see one negative other than maybe idiotic parents yelling at kids, which is a sad commentary. Eventually that's going to happen. You're going to have some moron in the stands screaming at a 16 or 17 year old kid.
And I know it's almost done, but kudos to Dubois Little League. They instituted a zero tolerance for that.
I love that.
And it has made all the difference in the world. Kids can learn and make mistakes and not get screamed off the field for it, because they're going to make, young officials are going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
So you have to give them the grace to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, D, it's time to get out of here.
All right. Well, hey, hashtag get lost. One of our loyal listeners, Judson Hazleton up in Alaska, says, get lost to anyone not appreciating the fall season and how it's the pinnacle of sports. You got the NFL, NBA, NHL all this month. He says, get lost if you're not a sports fan appreciating this. And also, get lost to anyone who's missing out on the amazing show Under Review.
Oh,
that's from Judson Hazleton up in Alaska. Love you, JUD.
Well, I'm going to say get lost to Penn State. For this reason alone, they tell me they don't have enough money for branch campuses.
Yes.
$2 million here, $3 million there. Oh, it's too much money. We got to close it. And they come up with $50 million, and they're going to say it's athletics is over here and the rest of it's over. Get lost to that nonsense. If you have enough money to pay a coach not to be here for $50 million, you have enough to keep a campus open.
Well, you know, are you saying it's time to return my Generation of Greatness jersey that I ordered? Is that what you're trying to
Amen to that. I'm going to just say hashtag get lost to the turf at Akershore Stadium.
Oh, my. Yeah.
We got to get out of here, guys.
Turf. All right.
See you next week.